Praise his name. Let's stand together if you like. We just bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Lord, we truly appreciate every opportunity we have. And Lord, as we've gathered in tonight, may we have come with great anticipation. Lord, anticipating hearing from you. Lord, and in this late hour, Father, and so far to go in so little time, Lord. Lord, you know what we need in this hour, Father. We don't want what we need tomorrow, but Lord, today, what do we have for you? Lord, you have for us today. Bless us. Grant us revelation. Strengthen us, each and every one, Lord. Bless the songs, Father, even the service, Father, as we sing, Lord, may it just settle our hearts and clear our minds, and that, Lord, when your word comes forth, it may find good ground. Lord, we ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You happy to be out tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, on page 116 in our big books there. Amen. The lifeboat. Praise his name. We're floating down the streams of time. We have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let is coming to gather the jewels home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we hold shall meet upon that golden shore. Oh, we're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Oh, sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain to try to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then we hear the Master say, I'll lend you a helping hand. And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. Oh, then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon, oh hallelujah, to gather the jewels home. The lifeboat soon is coming. By eyes of faith I see, as she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely in the port with friends you love so dear. Get ready, cry the captain, oh look, she the last one.
Oh, now's the time to get on board while she is passing by. But if you stand and wait too long, you shall forever die. The fare is paid for one and all. The captain bids you to come and get on board the lifeboat. She'll carry you safely home. Oh, then cheer, my brother, cheer. Oh, my trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home.
Amen. Are you ready to get in the lifeboat? Hallelujah. Praise his name. Page 53 in our little capstone books. Amen. Good old gospel ship.
I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joys with you I'll share. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship and go sailing through. Amen. Oh, trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring. Well, I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in. Oh, and when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sail. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring. Well, I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, if you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. Oh, if too much fault you find, you'll sure be left behind. Well, I go sailing through the air. Amen. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring. Well, I'm bidding. Amen. Sing that verse again, of course. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring. Well, I'm bidding this world goodbye.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 166 back in our big ones. Big books. Amen. When we all get to heaven. Very familiar song. Such a happy thought.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Oh, when we all get to heaven, oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory. Oh, while we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But one trampling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Oh, let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of heaven glory will the toils of life repay. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory. Oh, onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gate will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory. Amen. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Oh, when we all and we'll shout the victory.
Amen. Amen. Oh, what a day that'll be when we all get together. Amen. Over on the other shore. Amen. Praise His name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up? Hallelujah. That's the blessing. Oh, I want to see. Amen.
Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Oh, cares all past, home and life, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, and sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Oh, cares all past, oh, my life, ever to rejoice.
Amen. How many have something on your heart that you'd like to take before Him? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Kevin, would you like to take the request?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity we've had to come into your holy presence, Lord, and worship you in spirit and truth and fill your presence here. Just thinking of these songs, Lord, what a day that is going to be when we see you. But I couldn't help but think what a rejoicing should be in our hearts as we look amongst us to see Jesus Christ live.
Yes.
Oh, how we should be so excited, Lord, because we know it won't be much longer. You're going to come and take us home.
word will come in and find good ground, and that your spirit will pour down upon it, Father, and bring forth that life, and that it would be seen amongst the people. That you are alive again today, because you live within us. And just have your way in the remainder of the service. We ask in Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Do you have a song tonight, Karen? All right. Anyone else have a song? Something on your heart? I'd like to sing. All right. Praise his name. All right. Let's all stand then. Amen. He's truly wonderful to us, saints. Hallelujah. Sing the little chorus. Lord, I believe. As we ask him to come. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord.
So thankful for the opportunity we've been given one more time, Lord, to come and together around your precious word. Lord, we thank you for your precious spirit we feel here with us. Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, and that though it be simple, Lord, in words we've probably heard many times, but in some way, Lord, may it be fresh to someone, Lord, mean something along the way. Lord, you know why each and every word is spoken and placed at a time that it is. But Lord, whatever you see fit to bring, Lord, may we find something in it, Lord, to sustain us. Lord, something to feed on, Lord. Maybe another boost, whatever it takes, Lord. Give me something, Lord, out of your precious word this evening, Lord, that will help us each one climb just a little bit farther. Press a little harder, Lord, or whatever you see fit in our lives. Lord, anoint these lips, Lord, that they would speak only those things that you would have spoken, Lord, that through it all you would receive the glory and the honor. And Lord, may when we leave this evening, may we be able to say it has been good to be in the house of the Lord and to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here with us. For Lord, you are the great I am, the all in all. And Lord, we can feel your precious spirit here with us moving. Lord, flow through us, Lord, as we've gathered here. And Lord, may we truly reach out in the spirit and ask you to help us, we pray this night. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's so good to me. Hallelujah. Happy to be here. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's just turn our Bibles to the book of Luke for a little scripture reading. Amen. May seem like a little simple text. Don't really know, but just let's let it fall where it may. God knows all things, you know, and we just want to be here to do whatever he wants done. But I know one thing. The Word of God is inspired, and it don't matter. You can read some of the simplest, maybe what people, man would call the simplest scriptures. And if you read it in the Spirit and with understanding, it will definitely bring to things that just, it'll magnify it to you. Amen. But here in Luke, the 19th chapter, and first verse. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was of little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. May the Lord bless and redeem his word. You may be seated. A very familiar little story, but that we've heard maybe time and time again, but God's seen a reason to place that into these scriptures. And I just liked how in here how Luke said, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He was, you know, and Brother Branham dramatized this little story many, many times. And he really put it into a lot of detail. And he pressed it out there. But as our brother brought last Thursday night and spoke on that drawl that's in a person's heart. And you know, you think about that, and then you think about Zacchaeus here. Brother Branham said his wife was a believer. And she had already seen and was convinced that Jesus was that Messiah. So she was telling him, I'm sure, all about it when they'd sit down to eat supper. Or they went here, they went there. She's telling him, oh, you ought to see this man. You ought to hear about this man. And Zacchaeus kind of had his own idea about things. But yet there was something down in there. He was uncertain. And he went and he said, I'm going to see him for who he is. He went to look for him. And I want you to think about that. There was something down in there, enough drive, enough press, that I'm going to go see what this is. And each one of us tonight, I want us to think about it. We might have sat in a church, and now we're in another church. I might have been in the world, and now I'm sitting in a church. But have I seen Jesus for who he is? Is it a reality to me, this precious word? The things that our pastor, the Holy Spirit, has been laying on his heart to bring. Do I sit here as a cold, starchy church member? And yeah, amen. Brother Ram's a prophet. Amen. We've heard the word. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven. And that's all we get out of it. But yet we're missing that there's a purpose in our lives that we've been sent here for. That each thing has happened. This whole Bible was written for a purpose. To express God. To express him in his fullness. And then God seemed fit to send a prophet in this age that would take these precious words and bring them to life. And bring it back to a reality of what God was expecting. Yes, now, down through time, we're not exempt. Man has always reached a point and been happy to stop and say, this is far enough. I've come far enough. I don't need nothing else. I don't need to go no farther. I've got it. And we look throughout this message today. People came, there was a prophet came, and they latched onto it. Hallelujah, I've seen the mysteries. Yes. And it stopped. It just, they went into a stalemate right there. They thought they had it. But yet they didn't see the reality and the revelation that God was going to bring and reveal to a people. And not to everyone, but to a chosen people, a called out people. People he saw in his mind. Before there was a moon or star, a predestinated, an elected seed. And it wasn't to everyone. And I want you to notice this now. As I'm going to read here, I'm going to pick up here in where Brother Branham, just to kind of pick up some of this, as he was talking about Zacchaeus. And I want you to just catch it for a minute. And he said, so Zacchaeus goes down, and he was little. And we'll start here on page 18, about paragraph 128. And he says, he goes down quickly, and he said, I'm little in stature. And he groomed himself, and he pulled his beard down, and he seen that he was perfumed just right. His nails all polished, and he stood on the corner, and he said, I'll see him when he passes by, and I'll tell him what I think when he passes by, and he stands on the corner. And he got to thinking, you know what? The same group will follow him. That'll be here, that's right. And I'm so little, I'll never be able to see him. And I want you to think about that as the crowds that thronged Jesus as he walked the shores and walked the streets preaching and leading places, and the people that followed him looking for signs, looking to get a healing, whatever he had for him. Some was drawn to all the things that he had done. But he thinks to himself, he says, and you know what? That whole group's going to be coming. And here he is, just a little bitty man. One little bitty man that was going to, and he wanted to see who he was. And he said, but you know, he said, here's a sycamore tree standing here, and I'll just believe I'll get up in this sycamore tree and I'll be able to see him and get a good look at him when he passes by. And he will never see me up there in that tree. And there's a limb that runs out there, and I'll just sit right on that limb and watch him. And when he comes into view, when he goes out of view, I'll get a good look at this fella. And the first thing you know, he began to try to see how high the first limb was, and it was a little out of reach. And I want you to think about that. This little bitty man, And there's many obstacles that gets in our way. When I'll go to church tonight. Tonight I'm going to forget everything else and I'm going to go to service. And something will come up that puts that just a little out of my reach of being there that night. Or maybe tonight I'm going to go to that altar and I'm going to pray. And Satan throws an obstacle up there and it's just a little out of reach. But this little man, I want you to notice, he was so determined to see. There was something down inside of him that was telling him he had to see. And he had to get there. And he took and he says, you know that the first step's a little out of reach. Let me drop on down here. He says, so we find this little notable fellow. He was a businessman in the city. And he said, how will I get up? Perhaps the garbage disposal hadn't come by that morning. And there were some cans sitting in the corner full of carrion in the city. And they said, well, if I could get a hold of that can, I could reach up and get a hold of that limb. Strange how God gets men to do things ridiculous. But you know, if you're determined you want to see Jesus, you'll do things that's ridiculous if you're determined that you want to and you're really sincere. It's not easy to make those first steps. What's people going to think of me? What's so-and-so going to say if they see me want to get baptized and go to the water? What are they going to see if this Holy Spirit gets on me and I cry and reach out in the Spirit? Maybe just fall under the anointing. What will people say about me? How will they feel about me? There's many things. And then there's also this side on the more where we've been in church longer. Well, if I truly took a stand like that for the word, what would my own family think of me? What would they say? But many people are looking for a reality in Jesus Christ. Many visitors that will walk through this door, we're just another church. We're just another group of people that's Christians. But they're looking for something that's real. And yes, the first step is we don't cut our hair as sisters and our dresses are modest and we look very clean. But then if they was to get around us just a little bit, is my whole life clean? To make some salty, make some thirsty and want more of what I got? Or do when they finally get around me, they begin to say, oh, he ain't quite what I think he ought to be, the word says. But this is where it's come down to a life. This is that life that you can't live yourself. That's what we've lacked all of these years. We've been church members for many, many years. We've gathered in a building. We've heard this message preached frontwards and backwards. We've heard these things. We know these things. But there's not a life living 100% the way it's got to in each of us. Each one of us can look and say, Lord, there's a higher rung I need. There's a higher height I need, Lord. But is there that determination to get onto that limb or that ladder rung, wherever I need to climb? Is that true determination truly burning down inside of me? Or am I willing it's just too hard. It's too hard to pray. It's too hard to live like that. It's too hard to remember these things. But I want you to notice this little man, just think now, he got all cleaned up. He was perfumed. And there sat a garbage can, probably was nasty and smelly. But in his little place, he had to bear hug it, Brother Branham said, to probably drag it over where he was at. And I don't want to spend a lot of time, but, you know, just think and put yourself in this little man's shoes at this time. The natural circumstances he was having to battle to get to see Jesus. Yes. So then after he does all of that, he says he had his arm around the garbage pail. It's paragraph 140. What a thing for a businessman. And his face red and them saying, what do you do? No, Zacchaeus. It's been pretty sharp. The business that he finds out here is he's working for the city. And they're making fun of him because he's trying to get this garbage can over there. Some of his friends saw him. But he was determined to see Jesus regardless, and he heard about it, and he wanted to know himself. He said, I would to God that every man would take that attitude. If you've ever heard of him, find out. He's not dead. He's alive. Just as much here in this place tonight as he was on the shores of Galilee. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And the works that I do shall you do also. That isn't so. Then he is a false Messiah. He wasn't. But the Messiah he's supposed to be, if he maintains and keeps his promise, he is still God that makes himself known to the people. And he would have the same things. 13:8, speaking out to the Jews, he said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, he must be the same in principle, the same in power, the same in everything that he was. He must be the same today. Amen. Do we make him the same today? Ask yourself, is he the same in the same power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit in your life? I know he's the same. And he's proved himself to be the same. But can you testify that that Holy Spirit that worked in those men of old to perform the acts of the Holy Spirit that through them, is that same Spirit working in you to perform the very works of this day, that every word of God will be manifested and lived and manifested out through us? But you know, I don't think we still don't care enough. We still are not sincere enough with a true drive in our hearts to see that. When you think about the day of Pentecost, in that upper room when Jesus told them to go there and wait till they be endued with power from on high, they went there and they stayed and they prayed and they waited till they knew that it had taken place. Amen. They didn't give up. They didn't leave. They didn't let down, but they stayed there till they knew it had taken place in their life. And I wonder if today, if we are that sincere, we just get down and spend, Lord, I need this to happen in my life, but I pray you'll take care of it, and away we go. And we don't ever think about it. We forget, as our brother stressed that many times. Even you young people, if you want to see him, he's there. And I want you to notice this with Zacchaeus just a little bit. Let me jump down here. He says, so we find Zacchaeus gets his garbage pail. And see, if we could just get the feeling among us, if we could just get determined that we're going to find out what this is all about and if it's the truth. And that's what people were looking for, is a truth. Man has took the word of God and made it to none effect. Till people that believe they're Christians in denominations can't comprehend that someone that's a homosexual is not going to make it to heaven. Took it to, if they're an adult, they're still going to be saved because they believe. No. Jesus said, he that keepeth my commandments is he that loveth me, and he that doeth the works of my Father. We must bring it back to every word. And we get into a place where, oh, we've left the denominations. Now we're in a message church, and we've got the revelation, and we're following Jesus Christ. But one word lacking puts me back in the same ship they're in. One word lacking, one thing, one time I am a disrespectful wife to my husband, that throws me out. One time I'm a husband that won't rule my wife, that throws me out. One time I'm a parent that won't rear my children correctly, that throws me out. It's got to be that real to us, saints, and it's got to be every word. In this day, this is the age of the full word, the entire word of God. And it's come back, but I want you to notice that only Zacchaeus with this time, that this scripture was showing, that Zacchaeus had a drive. He had a desire to see Jesus for who he was, and he was longing for that to see. And of all of the people around him, when Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree, he didn't think no one else could see him, and he thought he had it going on. And there he sat. But when Jesus walked under that tree, he reached up and spoke to him and said, come down, for today I'm coming to your house. Of all of the people that was standing there, one person he spoke to and said, I'm coming to your home. Just think of that. Tonight we sat here as a group. But maybe Jesus is only going to visit one person here tonight. Is it going to be you? Is that the desire in your heart, Lord? Oh, let me be that one you speak to. But one person got the desire of their heart out of this group this day. He come to one person and made himself known. And oh my, what a change it made in Zacchaeus' life. Amen. He says, amen. Let me see here. Over here, he said, amen. Let me skip that for just a moment, but I want you to think about that. Now, there's Zacchaeus, a prime example. One person, and I'm going to turn over here to the book of Mark, in the 5th chapter, if you want to follow along. You've heard it before, but we're just going to read it again. Amen. Mark 5 and 24. Amen. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately in himself, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in his press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who toucheth me? But he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done in her, what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And I want you to look. Here we go again. A whole crowd of people following him. Following him because they saw that he had something that they needed. But only one person got something from him right there. That one person that had a desire burning hard enough and long enough in their heart. And a determination that, Lord, no matter what, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll get what I ask for. I'll know I'll be well. She believed that he was. And she diligently sought him to reach out and to touch his garment. And she got it. And oh, she got what she asked for. And today, here we sit. Many times we come in. The Holy Spirit is here. The precious word is laying here. And it's coming forth. But do we feel that press in our heart that if I could just get the revelation of that, it would meet the need in my life? I've been a church member all these lives, and I can't overcome my temper. I can't overcome this thing over here. I can't get over this. I can't get over that. This hump's in my way. This one thing is that I lack. And the Holy Spirit comes, and he's here to meet our need. But we're not determined. We don't care enough to try to reach out and get what he's got for us. Is that where I stand? But one person in each one of these circumstances had a desire to reach out and to get what God had for him. And you might sit here and say, well, I'm new to the message. It's this, that. I'll wait my turn. God will speak to me. I'll get what I need. But I want to read you a little example here in the message, Perseverance. And this is on page 25, very familiar little story. He says, he was having a prayer line. And he said, he was talking about Mexico. He says, the economics of Mexico is poorly balanced. And he said he's a brick mason. He gets 16 pesos a day, but it'll take 4 days to work for him to buy a pair of shoes. But he'll have to save enough for a great candle to burn out on $1 million gold altar for his sins. And that's what he's talking about the thing there. And then he says, see, those precious people, they came there at 9 o'clock in the morning. No seats to sit down, and they leaned against one another like sheep in a pasture, raining. And then women standing there, their hair streaking down, soaking wet, waiting all day in the hot sun or rain just to hear the word of God. Oh, what will they do when Phoenix rises in the day of judgment with them? When we find churches everywhere and you can't even herd them in. And there she stood, or he stood rather, with his sight. And that night when I got in, it was raining, and Brother Jack Moore, many of you know him, Brother Espinosa, several of the brethren, was on the platform, and Billy, my son, he usually gives out the prayer cards, and he couldn't speak Spanish to those people, so he had to let Manna do it. But he just went around to see that Manna didn't sell a prayer card. So that's where we have to watch, you know, selling a prayer. He goes on down here, he says, and he come to me, and I got to preaching, and a great pile of them clothes laying up here, and how they ever knowed which belonged to who, I don't know. And I just got to speaking, and Billy tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, Daddy, you're going to have to do something. The little woman out there said, I've got almost 300 ushers, and they can't even hold her. A little bitty Spanish girl, about so high, a beautiful little thing. She had a dead baby in her hands under a blanket. And she said, Manna, give out. And he said, Manna, give out every prayer card. And said, she has no prayer card. And there is no line. And there is the line has been standing. And for them there for the last 2 hours waiting for you to come. And she wants to bring that dead baby up here. And we can't hold her. And said, oh, well, she come right over the top of the ushers and right under their feet and anything. She was persistent. She wanted to get there. She had seen that blind man healed the night before. And she was persistent. Here she is. She speaks Mexican. Brother Branham speaking in English with an interpreter. But yet she saw something take place that she knew was real. And here she saw that the need that she had at this time was up there on that platform and could meet her need. Hallelujah. And I want you to notice that here stands all these lines. And even look at the people, even Billy Paul's attitude thinking about the situation. We've given out prayer cards. And we can't let somebody jump the line and get in front of all of these people that have been here waiting. And I want you to look at how, you know, they were thinking of the situation. And then Brother Branham says, and I said, Brother Moore, she don't know who I am. She don't know which is which. You just go down there and pray for that baby. And he said, all right, Brother Branham. So Billy got him by the arm like it'd be me. And he went down across the platform, and I turned, and I said, I'm very happy to be here tonight. And the meetings are not strange to you people here in Phoenix. Right before me, I seen that little Mexican baby, no teeth, laughing in a vision, sitting out there. Wait a minute, Brother Espinosa. He said, what's the matter? I said, get to the microphone and tell her to come here. And Billy said, Daddy, he said, you can't bring her over all those prayer cards. And I said, get her here. I just saw a vision. So he called her, and they got back, and here she come with a quilt in her hand, that little baby laying there, been dead since early morning, died with pneumonia, a little bitty fella about that long. And here she come, the tears running down her cheeks, her little black eyes, her hair hanging down, and every charming little lady, she run to the platform and fell on her knees and began to cry, "Padre." And I said, "Stand up just a minute." And he said, "I thought, Lord, what if it wasn't that? I don't know. I just seen a little Mexican baby, a little no teeth. This little gums is laughing at me. She's sitting right over there." And she was crying, and I put my hand up on that wet blanket, and I said, "Heavenly Father, the little woman, no doubt in my mind what you're answering her." And I said, "I saw the vision that you know to be truth of a little baby. And I'm only accepting it by faith that it's this baby. I don't know the woman nor her baby, but something. You work on both ends of the line." I laid my hands upon it, and when I did, it kicked and screamed just as loud as it could scream. And the mother jerked the blanket off, and there it was, alive in her arms. But I want you to think of that little woman. She didn't have a prayer card. She didn't have any right to be on that platform at that time. But her faith reached out and touched God. And those other people stood there in that line holding a card that they had been given. But God worked on both ends. And he knew that prophet wasn't going to reach, but he gave him a vision to make it and switch it in time. But God knows your heart. He knows if you're hungry. He knows if you're seeking. He knows if you're praying and asking him for something. He knows if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's wonderful to come to church. It's wonderful to sit here in this pew. It's wonderful to have been baptized. But you must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a fire that will turn these bodies, the mechanics and the dynamics together, that will put this word into action. Not know it mentally, but it becomes a living reality in our lives more than it ever has. And you may say, "Brother Tim, we've heard that before," but it's got to become a reality. We're letting it go over us. We're content to be here, the same people we've always been. Things in our lives that need overcome, but we just keep pushing it off. We're going to get there. But where is that drive that should be in that people of this last day? Where we've sat around this word for many years, but where's my hunger? Where's my thirst? Where's that moving of the Holy Spirit before the pastor gets up to preach? Where's that moving of the Holy Spirit after the pastor's preached? Where is them hungry and crying souls that can reach out and shout hallelujah and amen and glory to God? Where's it at? It's missing. It's lacking in us, saints. Whether you want to admit it or not, we're lacking. There is a true, genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost and a fire from heaven to set us up. The day of Pentecost is gone as far as the movement, but the power that fell on the day of Pentecost is still here. If we'll only get in the right attitude and the spirit with the thing. But we've got to be sincere. God may not move for everybody in this building, but he'll move for one that's sincere. One person that wants what he's got, he'll give it to him. But you've got to want it. You've got to show God that you're willing to get the garbage pail, climb on top, get a hold of a limb, whatever it takes to get there. Amen. We've served God a long time, some of us have. We've sat around this message. Some of us came in out of the world and we cleaned up. But there's a higher height we must keep moving. Don't be satisfied with where God, but keep pressing on till we get to that height, to that finish line, till we've reached that height in Christ, to the full stature of the Christ and made whole in us. Amen. You know, we've heard it many times, and it's got to this point, you know, here in the message, Awakening Jesus. This was preached January 17th, 1963, over on page 29. He says here, amen, just a catch. He says, this is page 226. "Now, if I told you the spirit of a gangster is in me, you'd expect me to have big guns and be mean. And the spirit of an artist, you'd expect me to take a brush and paint. And as human beings, if I told you I was a musician, you'd expect me to play an instrument. And you can take it onto anything. That's the way our human mind thinks. That's how we are. And when we tell people we're a Christian, we're saying that Christ is living in us. But then what if we cheat someone? What if we lie to someone? What if I go out of my way and do something that's not Christ-like? Yes, we're going to make mistakes. But what about our everyday life that they know, oh, he always does that, and that's just him. I really ain't much of a Christian when he gets like that. But other than that, he's a pretty good fella. Where are we at, saints? It does matter how others look and perceive us. They didn't look at Jesus one day and think, yep, he's the Messiah, and the next day they didn't know. Those that knew that he was the Messiah knew he was the Messiah all the time. There wasn't a doubt. His life was a vindication of the scriptures that proved that he was. And if his life is in us, we will have all of those things that's going to be exact. But over the years of being churchgoers and church followers, we've let it be webbed away from us. This is okay. We've seen our pastor in another church in times past, we've seen him do things that wasn't Christ-like. We've seen expressions, preach one thing and then, oh, it's okay to get mad over here. It's okay to go do this here and there. It's okay for the deacons to do this over here today and not tomorrow. We've seen those expressions. Traditions of men was being kept and that was all. But we're looking today for a reality of God's word in our hearts and in our lives. A reality of the moving of the Holy Spirit back into the church. Not just a jumping with a bunch of music and singing songs and we ain't got no life to manifest it and back it up. But somebody's going to have a life. Somebody's going to have a joy and a peace and a song in their heart. And a joy that's a rejuvenating to the people. It's going to be there in someone, 100%. Not a put on, not a make believe, but a genuine moving of the Holy Spirit in their life every day.
Amen.
That their family can see it. Oh, my saints, when you look around and you see the people that have just took what man has said, and we can just take what the Bible says, literally. We can just take what the pastor's saying, but it'll never create the work that we need done in our life if we don't surrender and give it all to Jesus Christ and give our bodies as a living sacrifice and let him take control. It's never going to happen the way God intended for it to be. But somebody's feeling that draw in their heart to go all the way. Maybe we've been cold and starchy. Maybe we've been in this and been in that we shouldn't have had no business in. Maybe I haven't given my life to Jesus Christ the way I should have, but somebody's going to. And we're coming down to the end of time. We can see the times wrapping up. We can see it closing in on us. And before that time, somebody is going to be a vindication of this precious word. And it doesn't have to be in this building, but I believe God's got someone here that will be. But God will vindicate his word, and wherever he sees fit to do it, it'll take place 100%, just like he said it would. But oh my, are we on fire? Are we seeing that drive? Lord, let it be me. Let me get to that place. Let me see you for who you are. Oh, that it'll bring about the change that's needed in our lives. Amen. You know, I just little quote about Paul here. Amen. Let me. Amen. Let me catch it over here for just a moment. This is in a. Zacchaeus the businessman on paragraph 146, page 18. He says, if we only try to get people in upon a psychological appeal, if we can only change them from Methodist to Baptist and Baptist to Pentecostals, what is it? It's just a bunch of psychology. And I can bring somebody from a Pentecostal church and bring them in here and make them a message following church. They'll cannot cut their hair. They're going to wear a dress and begin to follow this message. And they'll do the best they can. But their personality will still be the same person they always was. The things they've always loved, they're still going to love. There's many people in this message that's following this message, believes they're born again of the Holy Spirit, and will dip snuff, chew tobacco, smoke a cigarette, drink a beer, whatever, and they think they're right, and yet they're just a church going. But now, mentally, they've accepted this message. It's right. But they didn't get a revelation of it. They didn't see who Jesus truly was. They didn't see who that prophet truly was. And they didn't see what was being spoke out through that prophet. But there is a people that saw that and caught a revelation that God is doing a work in their lives. And I want you to think about Paul as he used Paul here as an example. God's power to transform. September 11, 65, he said, Paul, a local church member, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Pentecostal, or something. Down the street he went with his great defying spirit in him that he knowed more than any of them. And he had come up under Gamaliel, one of the best teachers there was in the land. What happened on his road to Damascus? Get a bunch of people who was believing God's word on his road down there was stricken down, and he heard a message and it transformed him from a church member and a church goer to a prophet of God who wrote the word of God in the New Testament, from a church member to a saint.
Amen.
And I want you to think about that. Have our lives truly changed? Are we just churchgoers? Are we just church members? Oh, we know all about it. We've been set under the best teachers, and we can tell you all about it. But do we have that changed life
from just being a normal, typical human being to being a person that Jesus Christ is expressing himself out through. And that goes for each one of us. As I'm speaking to myself as well as I'm speaking to you, there's higher rungs we need to reach and higher heights. And as long as we sit here and think we're okay, we come up, we're better than this message church, we're better than that denominational church over there, because we've got an understanding. We know, we heard the mysteries, we understand it. But if it doesn't bring a reality into our life that brings these bodies under subjection and make them live that word out through us, it's of no avail. It'll just go away. But Jesus Christ is here to prove that he is alive, that it's his works that'll be done through these bodies, his life lived out, and his life was that light of men. Oh my, think about it, saints, what the Holy Spirit is trying to stress to us. We see it coming down. Someone's sent here to finish this work. And it may just sound like repetition. We're just repeating things and things again. But where's the reality that's burning in our life? You know, each one of us should be a pillar of fire when we come in here. And that don't mean that we're shouting and jumping and running all over the place. But the Holy Spirit should be able to move us so easy. Woo us through the Spirit. Each one of us, the sisters aren't excluded. There ought to be some of the sisters that can have that same praise and worship. Not afraid, we don't have to stand up just because someone else stood up, but it's in our hearts that I'm going to stand up and praise the Lord. You know, we can stand up as a group and praise the Lord, and it's wonderful. But if it wasn't in your heart to do so, you might as well just sit still. If you just follow in the crowd, you're not going to get anything from God. But if there's a genuine burning down on the inside, oh Lord, here am I, Lord, bless me. Pour out your Spirit upon me. Lord, let it flow through me. That's where it's got to come to. It's got to be a reality, saints. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But that's where we're standing tonight. Each one of us. The promises are laying here. There's healing laying here. There's all these things. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is here. God, while you sit in your seat, he can fill you if you've got a hungry, true desire. God's on the desire to move. But he's waiting for a people that can show him that they're hungry, that they're willing to get up and climb up on a garbage can, willing that they'll get up and get a hold of a limb. But oh, do we have that in us? Do we have that burning, that press in our lives? Amen. This is in the message, remembering the Lord. Oh, if we Christians, if we ministers, if we men and women, Pentecostals and the rest of us, if we can't take what God said his church should be, if we can't measure up by the statue that he said, then we could be condemned of sin, of unbelief. We try to say that the days of miracles is past and all these other things, the so and so and so and so. Then we can be accused of unbelief. For there's only one sin, and that's unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. You don't even get to first base if you don't believe. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So that's what God wants. That's what God will have. A bunch of people that can say, what has Jesus Christ promised? What has been promised in this last days that hasn't been manifested through us? Then we can sit down and remember him, remembering when we come together. If there's anything lacking, let's do it. If there's anything lacking with us, let's get back to that and remember what he required. Not what we think we ought to have, but what he said we've got to have. And we've got to have it that way, the way that he said it. And may we truly let that burn down in our hearts. Saints, we've traveled a road a long way. And we are a bunch of wonderful people. But wonderful people don't make the difference. But it takes a life lived by Jesus Christ out through us to make the difference. That'll make that day to know that I'm going to stand over there on those streets of gold. And it's got to happen now. It's an assurance that now I'm living that rapture now. Not my life. When a man dies, it doesn't change him. What he is now is what he's going to be there. Right. And oh my, can you imagine if we were there the way we are here right now? I don't know. I don't know if half of us could live together over there. Half of us couldn't get along enough to be there together. That all matters, saints. Brotherly kindness, sweetness, love, long-sufferance, patience. Those are all virtues of the Holy Spirit and how it ought to be expressed. Oh, sister so-and-so just wrinkles me. Brother so-and-so just really gets to me. I can't take him. But where's the love of Jesus Christ that will overlook a multitude of sins and pray for a brother, pray for a sister, and embrace them and try to bring them together? Lord, help us as a family and as a body of Christ to be what you would have us be. Oh, I pray it's burning. I pray it means something to you. But maybe it don't. And if it don't, then that's what I'm talking about. That's where we're lacking. We're missing what the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us. We must, each one of us, there's higher rungs and we've got to reach them. And just sitting here and being content that I go to the capstone life. Amen. Let me read something. Amen. This Brother Branham used this as an example in the presence of God unrecognized. He said, I was telling the pastor this morning up in Colorado, I used to ride the roundups and so forth, and I used to sit there with my leg across the saddle like that on the Troublesome River. Hereford Association grazes the Trouble River Valley. And then you got up at the top of the valley and you got the East and West Fork. And all the cattle from up here in that association grazes the West Fork. And the group that I was with grazed the East Fork. And then they had the drift fence there to keep the cattle off the private property and up into the mountains. And when we would round up the cattle, 4 or 5 different brands, 8 or 10 different brands on the river would round up our cattle in the spring and take them up there. And I used to sit there, my leg across the horn of the saddle. And after we'd got all the cattle and they was all branded and everything, starting it back up on the pasture, the ranger stood there and he was counting them as they went through. And I noticed there was all kinds of brands. Mr. Grimes had the Diamond Bar, and just above us had the Turkey Track, and we had the old tripod, and there was different brands went through there. But the ranger didn't notice the brand. He noticed the blood tag in the ear. There was nothing could go on that pasture to keep the breeding associations, lest their cattle true to the breed. Nothing could go on there but a thoroughbred heifer. It was had the tag in the ear by the blood mark. And that's the way it'll be at judgment. He's not going to ask me if I was a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian. What brand I have won't mean nothing to him. Saying I was a message follower is not going to mean nothing. Saying I attended the Capstone Life Tabernacle is not going to hold no water. It's not going to mean a thing at that time. But it's nothing but a born-again, blood-born Christian of the blood of Jesus Christ that will go in, and nothing less than that will go in. Just think about that, saints. Many people, they want to say, my denomination's right, my church is right, what I believe is right. And everybody in this message believes that everybody that's in a message church is going to be saved. They've took on the same attitude almost of the denominations. Everybody's a son of God, as our brother has spoke on. And don't let our attitude become, just because I attend the church where my pastor is preaching the truth and I know the mysteries have come and everything's in order the way God wants it, that gives me a free ticket to heaven, because it don't. Your husband might be truly born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and say, this is where God's feeding us. That don't mean you've got a leg in or a foot over the threshold. Your mom and dad might be serving God right. That don't mean just because you sit under them and go to their church that you're going to be saved. That's a lie that was handed down through generation back in the Pentecostal movements. Or not Pentecostal, but just denominational movements. But today it must be a born again filled with the Holy Ghost. And we know without a shadow of a doubt what will happen when the Holy Ghost comes. Amen. We have not been left without an excuse. We know what it means to be born again. We've had it taught to us what it means to have a soul change and a nature change. Your drives, your passions, we know. And by God's grace, may we do our searching and look at ourselves. Don't worry about your brother. Don't worry about your sister, your wife, or your husband. But to weigh up your own self and see where you stand with God tonight. It's each one of us as individuals, but somebody's going to get on a limb. And somebody's going to reach out, and we're going to reach those heights by God's grace and make it to where God wants us to be. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. Just a little thought. But I pray it'll strengthen you. Somehow, maybe think about it. Saints, we're coming down to the end of time. We gather every service. We hear the word and we go out. But is my life changing? As our brother said, I believe it was last service, you either go out higher or you go out lower. You can't stay in the middle. And where are we weighing in at? Or do we just don't care? We just go to church because mom and dad do. Brother goes. Sister goes. Son, daughter, that's why I'm going. But somebody's got a desire to see this finished in their life. Amen. If that little woman had a blood issue, what's your issue you need tonight? Amen. Reach out to him. Amen. Be determined that you're going to get what you got need of. Amen. And God will be there to meet it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He's so good to me. Amen. Jesus. Let's sing that little chorus as our brother comes. Real, real, real. He's so real to me. Oh, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. And that is Lordy, baptize me with the Holy Ghost, and he's so real to me. Yes, he baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and he's so real to me. Yes, he baptized me with the Holy Ghost.
So real to me, yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me, yes, he's real, real, real. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Do you know he's filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What a glorious thing to happen when you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But if you are, it'll match what he was speaking. Amen. There's no questions about it. There's no wondering. And I like how he brought it out about when Jesus Christ, you know, he was Jesus Christ every day. Paul was Paul every day, Christ living in him. Amen. Once he was filled with the Holy Ghost, it was Christ every step of the way. That's the same thing it has to be for you and I. It has to be Jesus Christ. His self living through these bodies of flesh. May the Holy Ghost reveal these things to us and make it so real that he truly will be real, real, real. He's so real to me. Because if it isn't him, his self living, he's not real to you. He couldn't be. But if he's living in you, then you know he's real. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for that word tonight. So appreciative. And Lord, as we walk out of this building, I pray, Lord, that you'll not let a one of us forget it. But Lord, it'll be a burning in our hearts by the Holy Ghost branded down on the inside. Amen. Oh, God, thank you so much, Lord. It's been such a blessing to be here and to feast on the word of God. And Lord Jesus, again, we ask you, Lord, just make it real. Make it so real in our hearts. We know, Lord, you're getting ready to take a people home. And Father, our lives now has got to be completely be conformed to the image of your Son. Everything be exactly the way you said a people would be. And Lord, to you, to them in their life, you would truly be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us now, Lord. Just help us to yield to it. Lord, as I was listening to a little message today, the prophet spoke on Paul, prisoner. Lord Jesus, there was so many wonderful things in there that the prophet was saying. And Lord, it's something, Lord, truly we lack. Father, he showed us through that message that if we was true prisoners, then Lord, you could move however you wanted to move. But Lord, you won't move because we are not prisoners. We're not completely yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ and have an open heart and a mind. Lord, we're yours. And Father, we're at your disposal. We're your command. Whatever you want us to do, Lord, that's what we're here on earth for. So Lord Jesus, help us. Help us to get a revelation of all of these things. That's what it's going to take before that rapture takes place. So we ask now, Lord, you'd help us. May we remain a humble little people here, Lord. Father, hungering, crying out for revelation. Again, Lord, more than anything else in this life. Help us now. Bring us back again the next appointed time if you should tarry. And help us to come back again, Lord, as our brother was speaking. Come back, Lord, energized, filled with the Holy Spirit, hungering, Lord, for that deeper and closer walk with you. Grant that, Lord. In your holy name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Well, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes, he's real, real, real. He's so real to me. Yes. He's so real to me. And that is why I love him so. He's so real to me. Amen. God bless you. You're all dismissed.